Mr. Glover, God bless each one of you. While we're standing, let's read our verse so we won't do the yo-yo thing, you know. Somebody visited a Pentecostal church once and said, how come they ever always up and down, up and down, up and down? I said, well, they don't go to sleep that way. John chapter number 4, and I'm just going to read one little verse. Chapter 4, the first sentence of verse number 6. I explained earlier why you short verses. But I want to just give you just a little quick missions thing again. I want to sing a song. No music, please. That's between the keys. And this is from the Philippines. This is for the kids, if nothing else. They like to hear different languages sometimes. Magdaig sakalipay dihasaginu'u. Magdaig sakalipay dihasaginoo. Pagdaigon ta ang Diyos, simbahon ta siya. Samalipayong kasing-kasing, hallelujah. I'll praise with joy in my heart unto the King of Kings. I'll praise with joy in my heart unto the Lord of Lords. I'll praise and worship Him with adoration. My heart's so very, very happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I kind of like it. Kind of gives you that, you know. Yes, not as active as the children were singing, but still kind of active, amen. And then God picked us up from there and dropped us off in Eastern Europe. We went to Czechoslovakia soon after the Iron Curtain fell, which Czechoslovakia was behind the Iron Curtain under communism for over 40 years. And so then we got to learn a whole new language and a whole new culture. So I'm going to sing a song in the Czech language. If you know it, just join in. Já vím, že jméno Pana je můj ukrýt. A v boji se v něm můžu skrýt, v bezpečí žít. Já vím, že jméno Pana je můj ukrýt. A v boji se v něm můžu skrýt, v bezpečí žít. Požehnané jméno má Pán, požehnané jméno má Pán, požehnané jméno má Pán nejvyšší. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Amen. Now, I noticed some of you recognized that before I got to the English, right? How many knew it? It's great. See, that way, when you go visit over there, you can just join right in. Well, God's good, isn't He? Thank the Lord. I want to thank you and thank your church for your support of missions. Amen. Just nothing like it. As a matter of fact, your fingerprints are around the world. You know, when you hold that money so tight before you put it in the offering. Amen. How many like to come over sometime? Well, sounds good. Well, I understand we can't all go in person, but we can all go in purse. Yeah. Some give by going, others go by giving. And when you read David, he said, those that tarry by the stuff receive equal to those that go into the battle. I'm talking to you today. We all get the reward if we all contribute. Amen. And if you're not given to missions, you need to start. Amen. When this church receives their mission offering, you need to make a commitment and give a certain amount every month. Oh, well, that sure went over good. Amen. Now, let's get to our scripture. I had to get a little missions in there. And I'm going to preach just like I preach, okay? I'm going to take this off. He said I could.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that I'm going to wait. It's hanging. Thank you. Thank you. That's really... Oh, you know what? I enjoy what I'm doing. Don't you? Now, Jacob's well was there. Pretty good scripture. How many's ever heard anything about Jacob's well? Oh, man, a lot of them haven't. It's going to take longer than I thought. Right, how many's heard anything about Jacob's well? Okay, that's more. All right. Interesting. Jacob's well, you know, that's the only verse in the Bible that mentions it. Just the first sentence of the verse. And it's amazing. Almost all of Christendom knows about it. Very interesting. Now, how big do you think the well was? Since we're talking about it here a little bit, let's learn a little bit. That's what I thought. See, that's why you came, so I could tell you. Jacob's well was about 7.5 feet in circumference. That's a good size hole. Amen. How deep do you think it was? Well, we're going to be here a while. I mean, help me out, folks. Anybody have an idea? 135 feet deep. Now, how high is this ceiling to the floor? Is that about 15? 12, 15? Let's say it's 13.5 feet. That's between 12 and 15. Okay, that's or close to it. The well was 10 times as high as this ceiling to the floor. 7.5 feet around, 135 feet deep. That's a big hole. Now, I got thinking about it. You know, they didn't have the equipment that we have. They didn't have, you know, dynamite, jackhammers, no electricity. You know, they didn't have any of that stuff. How in the world did they dig a hole 7.5 feet around, 135 feet deep, without the equipment we have? Now, the Bible does say he got property in the Old Testament. It doesn't say anything about it. Now, I've been to the Holy Land. It's nothing but rock. It's just rock. How'd they do it? The Bible doesn't say. The only thing it says, now Jacob's well was there. I got a revelation, Pastor. I think I know how he did it. Yeah. He had 12 sons. Well, and servants, you know, and things like that. But I think there was a lot of scraped knuckles. I think there was a lot of sore muscles when they laid down at night. I really do. Now, before I go any farther, I'm not going to say a whole lot more about Jacob's well, but before I go any farther, I got to tell you something about God. You probably already know it, but since we're in church, I want to tell you something about God, okay? God is not like us. Aren't you glad you came? See? You see, we live in time. Matter of fact, time controls us. You know, you're wondering what's for dessert. Because he already told us that we're going to be late. Just hang it up, you know, we just settled it. Okay. But time controls us. We go to church on time. Well, we're supposed to. We do go to work on time, but, you know, it's strange. But, you know, as a matter of fact, one of you precious people put that clock right there. Because time controls us. But God doesn't live in time. We live in time. Oh, let me help you out. Let's say this center aisle right here is the year 2013. Right here, this center aisle. Okay? Now, let's say this side over here is the year 2012. Okay? Got that? Now let me test you. If this is 2012 and this is 2000, what's this over here? Well, you're good. 2012, 2012, 13, 14. Past tense, present tense, future tense, right? It's not that way with God. You see, with God, He lives on a level plane. And for Him, that's not last year, that's just over there. No, that's not next year, it's just over there. See? Because He lives in a different realm than we live. It's hard for us to comprehend it, but wrap your head around it with me for just a moment. Now, let's go with Jacob. Okay, Jacob got this piece of property back there in the old tent. Will this ring if I get in front of that? Oh, okay, here we go. So here's Jacob over here. He's kicking rocks around. He got this property over here in the Old Testament, and he's walking through it one day. But the Spirit of God is here too, okay? And the Spirit of God that is here looks way over there. And sees a little old woman walking out of a city that's not even there yet. And he sees her. She has this hard look about her. She's been married four times. She's living with a man now, not married to him. But that Spirit of God looks past her exterior and sees her heart. He says, oh, if I had a place I could meet her, she could give her heart to me. Jacob, dig a well right here. Wow. Praise God. Now, Jacob thought he was just doing this for his family and for his herds and flocks, but no. I believe he was something motivated on the inside somehow by the Spirit of God that caused him to dig a well right there. Amen. Now, would it interest you to know, if my studies are correct, Jacob dug that well 1,500 years before Jesus ever came and sat on the well. You know what that tells me? God's been working things out. Putting things in order, shuffling the universe just to come in contact with you and with me. If He did it for that woman, He's done the same thing for every one of us. Oh, that's big. When you read a verse that says, now Jacob's well was there, it seems pretty simple, but it's more than that. It's something that's in the plan of God. It's something that God has constructed, that God has worked out. He's put all the little... I believe God is so interested in each individual that He'll do that for everybody. And if all of us would just look backwards, get a rearview mirror, and look backwards in our life, we can see where God has adjusted some things just to come in contact with us. Amen. I believe that. Therefore, I don't think it's an accident that we're here today. I don't think it's an accident that I've tried to come to Alaska for my last five deputations. This is my seventh deputation. And for the last five, when they send me the form, I put, I want to go to Alaska. I want to go to Alaska. And they never have let me till now. Huh. Yeah. But that's not a mistake. It might be a secretarial thing that they just work. But I don't think it's a mistake, Pastor. I think there's something in the mind of God, that's in the plan of God, that's in the workings of God, that allows certain things to happen in certain ways just to come in contact with somebody. Amen. And so maybe it's through some type of a ministry or something I say that God could use me to speak to somebody here that He's never gotten through to yet. Man, I cheer Him on. I cheer Him on. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot more about that there, but I'm going to talk a little bit about our work in the Czech Republic. These folks have been there, and they can amen or owe me or straighten it out later. Okay. After living in the Philippines, now, when we went to the Philippines, folks, it was great. We were appointed back there in 1984. We arrived after a deputation in April of 1986. I had my two boys. They were, at that time, we were appointed, and so 6 and 4. We get off the plane right there in Davao City, and there's a whole group of people there to meet us. I mean, it was great. They were singing, there's a welcome here, there's a welcome. oh, man, this is great. My boys are scared to death, you know, holding on to my pants. I can remember it. And they came and put these flower lays around us. And we're the missionaries. And, oh, you just felt like you wanted to, oh, let's go. And we did. We became the pastor, the president of the Bible school there, missionary pastor of the headquarters church, president of the Bible school. That Bible school grew to 90 full-time students. We had 14 full-time staff. When I went to Mindanao Island, it was one district, okay? And when I left 10 years later, it expanded to three districts. We had nearly 400 churches on the one island. Oh, it was explosive. It was great. It was, man, it was marvelous. Hallelujah. And Brother Kogan is there over that Bible school right now. And in the last 19 years since I left, it's doubled again. We have nearly 800 churches on the one island of Mindanao. Oh, that's exciting. Oh, man, let's go. God helped us. We were able to learn the language, Cebuano, Nagawale, Caninyo, Nining Rano, Cebuano, Nining Buntak, Cebuano, Konkin Hanglan. Amen. Preach to you in Cebuano this morning if I need to. Well, I don't need to, so we won't go there. I can't do it as good, but I was preaching in the Cebuano language, and oh, it was just wonderful. And then God picked us up from that and dropped us off there. I won't go through the whole story. I told it earlier. Did I tell you how my wife? Yeah, with the rabies. Remember if I told you how that God healed my wife. And in that time of her healing, we were sitting there in Indianapolis. God really began to work on our hearts about leaving. I didn't think we'd ever leave there. I mean, we were just loving it, just pouring ourselves into it. And then we stepped off the plane, and there was nobody to meet us. Nothing. You know, like in the Philippines, it's hot and warm, and their personality is the same, warm and friendly. It's just the opposite over there in Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia back then. Nobody, we didn't have one name, didn't have one contact. Nobody knew us. We didn't know anybody. They didn't speak English. We didn't speak Czech. It's amazing when I look backwards. Somehow God helped me. I rented a car at the airport. I'm so happy. What you going to do? How would you start? I rented a car, and they had little cars, especially back then. I mean, we crammed our luggage and almost had to fold my boys up and put them in the back seat. They were now 15 and 13, and I'll never forget it. You know, I called them pregnant roller skates. Really, they were small. And I remember my wife was sitting there on the passenger side. I got in and started the car up, and I'll never forget. She looked up at me, and she goes, "Where are we going?" I didn't know. We found a hotel and slept. That's how we started. God was good to us. We searched around. Finally, we found a house to live in. Praise God. It was a tall house. Yep, you know. Man, I'm telling you something. It was amazing. See, property is very expensive, so they didn't get a whole lot of property, so they just built up high. And we parked our car here, and it was 76 steps up to the front door. 30-some steps in the house. It's great. Four stories in that thing. That's why I'm so thin. We don't live there now. Anyhow, when we got that thing, the bottom floor I had as my office. I had a bathroom there in my office. That was basically it. And then we went up the next floor. Had a kitchen and a little living room. And then up there. Okay. Do you stay in the very top? The nosebleed place? Okay, there. That bottom floor, I told my family, I said, you know, we're missionaries. They're supporting us to be here. I said, we're just going to start having church. We'll just start right here in my office. It'll work great. People can come. They don't have to go up and where we live. Just be great. Great. Our first year, we averaged 4. My wife, my two sons, and me. I'm glad they didn't backslide. We had 2 visitors that year. 2. Neither one came back. I remember walking in my office praying one day, and I was looking up to the ceiling. I don't know how you pray. I just talked to him. I remember telling God that day. I remember the exact words. I said, God, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. It's not working. Hello? During that year, we learned a little more about the Czech people, the culture, and et cetera. You know what I learned? They don't even visit each other in their homes. They have trust issues. They don't trust people. They didn't trust people at all, especially back then, especially going to a foreigner's house. I mean, oh, if they don't even go to their family's house, they'd never be seen going to a foreigner's house, because under communism, you tried to not stand out in any way, shape, or form. You just tried to blend into everything. So you're not going to do it. And so I was telling God about this. I said, God, I figured he didn't know. I said, God's not working. I said, what I've learned is, I said, we need an independent place to meet. Not my home. It's not working like this. And I'd seen this little storefront not far from where we lived. And I said, that'd be great. See what you can do. I'm going to go check on it, see. But about this time, my oldest son, Matthew, he's 15, almost 16 now. He got a sore on his eye right here. And the thing just aggravated him, wouldn't go away, and started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I didn't know what we were going to do. We had one newspaper that came out each week in the English language. Oh, it was glorious. The Prague Post. It came out on Wednesdays. I got it every Wednesday, devoured it. I mean, it's just wonderful. All four pages. I got it one Wednesday and it had in big letters, Doctor, I speak English. So I told my wife, let's take Matthew and see this doctor. Maybe he can help us with this thing. And so we did. We went and we met Dr. Milan Hudi. Dr. Hudi. And he examines my son. He says, Roger, he said, have you noticed this is getting bigger? I said, yeah, that's the reason we're here. It's getting bigger. We didn't. He said, he needs to have surgery. I said, oh, no. No, not here. I mean, I'd been to their hospitals. I didn't want them to get, no. I said, no. He said, no. He said, I'm serious. He said, he needs to have surgery immediately, because not only is it getting bigger here, it's going inside. It's dangerously close to his brain. He said, that can hit his brain. He could die. He needs it. I looked at my wife, and we didn't know what to do. He said, I'm serious. So finally, my wife and I consented. Friday, we took Matthew downtown to the military hospital. Dr. Hudi said, I'll go with you, and I'll explain and translate and help you through this. So we were down there, and they explain, and then they take Matthew back into the surgery. And while they're there, Dr. Hudi comes out, and he looks at me. He says, Roger, he said, what are you doing in our country anyway? Well, I'd learned one thing in that year, and that is they don't want missionaries. You see, in their mind, it would be a slap in the face to them to have to need a missionary, because they're very high-cultured people. I mean, they're really into arts and culture and education. They love that stuff. As a matter of fact, Mozart used to live in Prague. Yeah. Einstein used to live in Prague. And now I was living in Prague. Anyhow, excuse me, Dr. Hudi says, what are you doing in our country? Folks, we've been there, nothing's happened. I'm thinking, God, help me. And I said, I'm a teacher. He said, oh, that's great. I said, thank you, Jesus. He said, education. He said, we love education. He said, what do you teach? I said, history. Well, you know, I was thinking the book of Acts. History of the church. I didn't say everything. I said, history? Then before he could ask me anything else, I said, as a matter of fact, doctor, I'm having a lesson at my office in a couple of days. Maybe you'd like to come. He did. Sunday, he comes to my office. This is a great day in Pentecost. It really is. He walks in. My wife is playing the keyboard. Oldest son, Matthew, he's got this patch on his eye. He's up leading the singing. My youngest son, he was the youngest, he collects an offering, and I preach. And there's Dr. Hudi. Well, when I get finished, he comes up and says, Roger, he said, I like this. I said, well, thank you. He says, matter of fact, he said, I have some friends that would enjoy this kind of a meeting. I said, that'd be great. He said, you don't have any room in here, just three or four chairs. I said, I'm working on it. So he said, now, the reason I mentioned this to you, he said, during the restitution, now you have to understand, under communism, you didn't own anything. You didn't own your house. You didn't own your property. You didn't own your, the government owned everything. Okay? But when communism fell, the government began to realize they can't keep up all of these old buildings and stuff. So what they did, they kept meticulous records. They went back through their records, tried to find the original owners of all these old buildings, then just gave it back to them in the state of disrepair that it was in. So Dr. Hootie says, during the restitution, he said, they gave our family this old chapel right down in the center of the city. He said, do you think you'd be interested in using that? I said, oh, we'd have to see it. Well, I didn't want to look too anxious, you know. We went right after church to see it. And that's when it happened. Right down in the square, the old town part of the city, we started meeting at the Mezi Narodni Letnichni Spoloczynstvi. Yeah. The International Pentecostal Fellowship. Now, can I take a moment? And, well, I guess I will. I got the mic. When did Columbus come to America? Columbus sailed the ocean blue, 1492. Okay, about 10 years after that. Oh, he was a latecomer there. Okay. But about 10 years after that, there was a man in the city of Prague by the name of Václav Budovets. Okay. I'm not giving a test. You don't have to remember it, but it's, if you want to Google it sometime. He was a nobleman. Back in those days, they had lords and earls and kings and dukes, you know, like this stuff back here. They had all of that, and noblemen. And he was a nobleman. Because he was a nobleman, he was wealthy and educated. Okay, and because of his wealth and education, he acquired property right in the middle of the city, right in the center, and a big old housing compound there that he built, that he had. Okay. Now, there was only one church back in those days, called a universal church. Everybody went to the same place, okay? But this church started doing some things that Mr. Budovets didn't agree with. They were teaching the leader of their church never made a mistake. Yeah. Well, he couldn't quite swallow that. And then they started a building program. It's quite interesting because they came up with a real neat plan to raise funds. You might want to take notes here. Here's how it goes. If you commit a sin, you go to the pastor and say, I did this wrong. And he says, well, if you'll pay the church this much money, your sins are forgiven. So, called the sale of indulgences. You know, it's not very scriptural, but it'll sure raise the money. I'm telling you what, it'll put it right in the coffers. It'll do it. And they raised their money. They really did. This church did. And if you want to see the church they built, just go to Rome and look at St. Peter's Basilica, and you know how they got the money to pay for it, okay? But we're not talking about that today. That's just for example. Mr. Budovets, been educated, he said, you can't pay money and have sins forgiven. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to have your sins forgiven. Takes his family out of that church, builds a chapel in his housing compound so that his family can worship God without being under the tyranny of that other church. Yeah, pretty neat. Well, when the other church found out, they came to him and said, Mr. Budovets, we want you back in the fold of the mother church. You know, you're a man of influence. And he says, well, he said, I'd be willing to come back if you'll change that kind of teaching. And they said, well, we're not changing. He said, well, I won't come back. I'm not teaching. I'm not changing either. So they said, okay, come with us. And they brought him and they took him right to the center of the square and chopped his head off. They took his head and hung it on the bridge. So, you know, people think we're pushy. Yeah. So he is no more. I mean, gone. But his chapel remained. So now you can Google it and look at the history. That's in the Czech history. As a matter of fact, it's in the Czech history books. Every Czech person that goes to school, the kids all learn about this. Okay. Now, with that background, I want to tell you what I think happened. One day, Mr. Budovets, walking down the streets of Prague, those cobblestone, uneven streets. He was walking down the streets of the city of Prague, but the Spirit of God was here too. See? And that Spirit of God that was here looked over there. Saw a family of four get off an airplane. Didn't know the language. Didn't know the culture. Didn't know the people. Didn't know what to do, how to start. But he saw they were baptized in his name and filled with his Spirit. Then he looked past that family of four and he looked into the faces of the Czech people and he saw a hardness. You know, I understand why they're so hard now. Almost everybody in the city of Prague has lost somebody in a concentration camp. I've been to three of them, those concentration camps. Some of them multiple times. They all have history of difficulties. I understand the hardness. But then the Spirit of God looked past their exterior and saw their heart. He said, oh, if I had a place I could meet with them, they could give their heart. Mr. Budovitz, build a chapel right here in the center of the city. Almost 500 years before the revival started in the Czech Republic, he started working on it. Amen. If God is so interested in each one of those things, he's done the same for every one of us. He's done it. Amen. Now, Václav Budovec's chapel was there. Wasn't an accident. Now, Jacob's well was there, a pre-planned thing by Almighty God. Now, I'm going to stop in just a moment. It's almost 2,000 years ago, and you know the story, how Jesus Christ came to this earth. They put him on the cross. Remember that? They stretched that hand out, pounded the nail in. Remember what I told you about God? He's not confined by time. When Jesus was on the cross and they stretched that hand that direction and he looked down his arm, he saw Adam. He was just over there. Abraham, Moses, Noah, Jeremiah. That was that direction. But they didn't stop there. They took his other arm and stretched it this direction. And when Jesus Christ looked from the cross this way, he saw June 16, 2013. And all generations from the cross to today, he saw. And you know what he said when he saw us? He said, if I had a place, I can meet with them all. They can give their heart to me. Why the cross is so important in our relationship with God. Because he prepared the way. Stand with me, would you? Hallelujah. You're not an accident. You're not a coincidence. It's not accidental you're here. It's not coincidental that we're here. But we are under the eye of Almighty God, who saw us before we were born and made a way that we can come in contact with the King of Kings. Would you raise your hands with me right now? I thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah.